My name is Van Simmons, and I work at the North American Mission Board. We're responsible for missions in the United States and Canada. The International Mission Board is responsible for missions everywhere else around the world. Of course, Acts 1:8. Who can quote Acts 1:8 for us? Go ahead.
But you will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you to be my witnesses in all the world, first Judea, first Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria.
All right. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the othermost parts of the earth. All right. What would you consider to be your Jerusalem? Hometown, close friends. Okay, right where you live, right? All right, what's Judea for you? What's that? Neighboring communities? What's it? Your state? Okay. Maybe people in your university. Now, people in your university might also be part of your Jerusalem, right? Okay. So, I mean, you can define it. Jerusalem somewhere is those who are contextually close to you, okay? Either physically or even contextually close to you. Because maybe you have a relative, like I do, who lives up in Minnesota. My brother-in-law, Tom. Now, physically, is he close to me? But contextually, I consider him a part of my Jerusalem, right? You agree with that? All right. So either your Jerusalem can either be those who are physically or contextually close to you. All right. Your Judea, there again, maybe those who are a little bit further separated either by geography or context from where you are. How about Samaria? Surrounding states? Now, pick up a little bit on what I've already said about context and culture.
Mexico, Canada.
Okay. Maybe a little further geographically away. What about culturally and context? What about culturally, though? Maybe somebody who lives in your hometown, but their cultural background and context is radically different than yours. Maybe it's the Muslim student who's on your campus. Maybe it's the student from another part of the United States or Canada who's on your campus but has a different kind. They may speak your same language, but they have a different kind of context and culture of understanding. See, they're a little further separated. How about the ends of the earth? All right, pretty easy, right? All right, maybe folks on the other side of the world like China, but perhaps even some people who live, maybe some international students who live right in your same dorm. Would they also be the ends of the earth? Even though they're physically right next to you, they may be worlds and worlds apart, right? So I hope when you think about Acts 1:8, and you think about Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth, that you'll not think of it just as a geographic thing, but you'll begin to think of it in culture and language and mindset. Okay? Let's pray together as we start. God, we thank you for just the fact that you love us, that you love all people. You desire to be in relationship with us. You desire to be in relationship with all men and women that you've created, that you love, and that you seek to have serve and worship you. Lead us during our time today, Father, that we can explore some of these things to honor you. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. All right. Let me introduce, as we get started, this is Heather McKeever. Heather is a student at Southwestern Seminary, but she's been one of our missionaries working with college students in Syracuse, New York for a number of years. And now she's back and taking some next steps to see where God would lead her in the future. But she's also working with us to to help communicate opportunities and options to students. So Acts 1:8, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Now, a lot of times we don't think about North America, the United States and Canada, as being a mission field. Why is that? All right, you got to speak up so everybody can hear you.
Because you have like the freedom to practice your religion in those countries, like in Canada and America and stuff like that, so they don't. People sometimes think that they're not as oppressed.
Okay. All right. So we have a freedom to share, right? And we're not. Nobody's going to chop off our head if we go sharing the gospel, right? Okay. Somebody else. What's another reason that North America is often not thought of in the same context, maybe, as China in missions?
We think that missions like something overseas.
Okay. Sometimes we just think of missions as being far away, right? Okay.
Because the Western world is supposed to be Christian. It's supposed to have that as the main religion. So we generally think, well...
We think of the United States and Canada as being Christian nations, right? Hey, isn't there a church on every corner in your community? Okay. You know that's not true in a lot of places, even here in North America. All right. Any other reasons? Why is North America not viewed as a mission field sometimes? Okay. All right. We think of North America as being similar culture, right? Okay. All those things are true, but I want to challenge you with the fact that North America, in many ways, is the reverse of many of those kinds of things. We tend to think of North America as very similar culturally. But it wasn't but a couple of months ago that I was eating in a Chinese restaurant in Los Angeles with Neil Walker, who's the director of campus ministry at USC. And we were the group of us who were there, white Anglos like me, we were the only people in the restaurant who were non-Chinese. The whole menu was in Chinese. We were the only ones who were speaking English. I don't think most of the people, even the wait staff, did not speak English. We were as though we were in China, pointing on the menu to to pictures on the menu. And here we were in one of the largest cities in the United States. Culturally, where were we? I mean, were we in an English-speaking, westernized culture? We were not, you know? When I was a campus minister years ago, I was in Ohio as a campus minister, took students to New York City, and we were involved with some ethnic groups that, you know, we went to... we went to several different communities, but one of them was a Haitian community from people from Haiti. There again, they did not speak English. And we were the minority immediately. How many of you would like to do, when you think of North America and students applying to serve as a missionary in North America or in the United States, let's say, where do you think two of the most popular places to serve would be? Any ideas? Where? New York City? Yeah, New York is probably popular. Where else? Let's talk states. I'm hearing lots of different places. All right. Let me just say Hawaii is one of the more popular places to go. All right. And it is indeed a beautiful place. But do you know what Anglos are called in Hawaii? There's a specific name for Anglos in Hawaii. or anyone who really is basically non-Asian. That can be African-American or anything. They're called Hallies. You're an outsider if you're not basically an Asian in Hawaii. Many people send their children to private school because they face persecution because they are non-Asian in Hawaii. There are many, and I guess my example is there are many places in North America where there is such tremendous need to make a difference. I just want to challenge you as you begin to pray through, what is it that God wants from me? I want to challenge you to think about the fact that God may want you to serve somewhere in North America. Okay? Now, I want you to, if you have some paper, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take out something you can write on. If it's your conference brochure or something, okay? If just find something, one of the pieces of stuff that we gave you, find a little piece of something to write on. I want you to take a few moments. I want you to write, if you already have it, or just take a stab at it, a statement that describes your life purpose. Okay? The purpose of my life is, and finish it out. Okay? The purpose of my life is, and if you don't have a pen, share with somebody who does. Okay? The purpose of my life is what? Okay? Take a few minutes. All right, what I'd like for you to do, is, you may or may not be done, I'd like for you to just turn to two or three people around you and share that. Share what you wrote and why, okay? It's going to take a little. I'm going to make you think about it. All right, what did you share and why? Swap people if you haven't, okay? So everybody kind of has a quick chance to share. All right, let me call your attention back up here. I know everybody may not have had a chance to share. Another thing that I would encourage you to do is to find a verse of Scripture or a passage of Scripture that will be a life verse or a life passage for you. Mine is 1 Corinthians 2:9, and it ties into my life purpose statement. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard. It hasn't even entered into the heart of man all that God has prepared for those who love Him. And my life purpose statement is this. God's purpose for my life is to become a maturing disciple of Jesus Christ, living a life of godly integrity and purity while seeking to fulfill the Great Commission in my lifetime. All right? I'll say that again. God's purpose for my life is to become or be a maturing disciple of Jesus Christ, seeking to live a life of godly integrity and purity while striving to accomplish the Great Commission in my lifetime. Now, there's nothing magical about that, but there are several components of that. Now, let me just say, one of the things that made a real difference in my life was for me, the summer after I graduated from college, I spent a summer in Maryland. And what I did in Maryland was I worked with migrant farm laborers. That's a people group that we never think about. Do you even know what those people are? You know, those are folks who, in my case, they worked their way up the East Coast from Florida to Maine working seasonal crops. And they're a people group because they're mobile all the time. There very few of them are actively involved in any church. And many of them they're just almost totally unreached with the gospel. And it was a life-transforming experience for me. And out of that, 1 Corinthians 2:9 really became alive for me because I began to see far beyond anything I could see or hear or dream or imagine, God gave me opportunities to share with people who had literally had never heard the gospel right here in our own country. And it just absolutely blew me away. I did not know there were people who didn't. I was a college senior, a graduate. Didn't realize there were people, and a native of Louisiana. I didn't know there were people in North America who had never heard the name of Jesus except as a curse word. It blew me away. And then to help meet the needs, one of the experiences I had that summer was I was sharing the gospel of course, a lot of these were illegal immigrants, and they were living in communities in little squalid little places out in the farm fields where they were picking their crops. And I was talking with this one lady, and she had two small children, single mom. And I was confronted with situations that I didn't know existed in North America. This mom was eligible for food stamps and could get food and that kind of stuff. But the only way to go for 10 miles to town was the crew chief who had the one vehicle at the time. And the crew chief said, "I'll take you to town and get food for your kids, but you got to sleep with me first." And that was, whoa. You know, I never knew people who faced situations and circumstances like that. And so sharing not only spiritual food, but physical food and clothes, that's what I did as a college student missionary with people in those circumstances. And I want to share with you some of those opportunities in a little bit. But choosing a life or determining, writing a life purpose statement is something that I hope that you will keep ever before you like this map. And it will be a guide to help focus your life, as Jim had said, on a 50-year mission for what you're about. Now, as we taught, a lot of times we think of missions as being somewhere over there, right? But I want to challenge you to think about being missions being right where you are and then expanding out like ripples in the water when you toss a stone into it. There are a lot of, in terms of reaching North America, God wants to use you. Now, my life purpose statement about fulfilling the gospel in my lifetime, fulfilling the Great Commission in my lifetime, God is, through a series of circumstances, has given me a situation, an opportunity to talk to students like you and to help them find their place of service. And not only helping them grow spiritually and emotionally and be challenged with the gospel, but also to help reach places literally around the world for Christ. I'm going to show you a brief video clip about one of the students we have. This is on the, by the way, this is on this, whatever, the little the interactive CD. That's what I've got on the screen right now. Let me show you one brief video clip about, it'll take just a moment for it to load. But this is a student who served with us in Yellowstone National Park. Yellowstone National Park is a place where you can go and serve. One of the categories, while that's loading, let me get, if you got one of these, pull it out, okay? If you didn't get one of these, there are a bunch more back on this little, on the chair back here. And Heather will help you get one. If you got one of these, if you look on page 25, the next to the last page, it describes what an innovator is. But basically, an innovator is someone who goes and gets a job. And so they're salt and light on the job, much like the Project Impact thing. You're salt and light on the job, and then you're sharing Christ as a part of that ministry. So let me share one brief video clip about... That's one of the opportunities that you have through the North American Mission Board to serve as an innovator in Yellowstone. And we will assign about 20 or 25 college students like you to work in Yellowstone this coming summer. And we'll explain how to do that later. But there are many places like Yellowstone where students like you, you can have an opportunity to reach North America and to reach people groups. One of the people groups that is often underrepresented, like I mentioned, migrants. Some of the people groups, I know that everybody over here can't see all this, but that's the way the marker board is. But notice some of the people groups here in North America who are most unreached. That's what I want to say. College students. We also assign college students to serve as student missionaries helping do collegiate ministry around the U.S. and Canada. High school youth ministry. Did you know that there are only 3 full-time youth ministers in Southern Baptist churches in the entire nation of Canada. The entire nation of Canada has 3 full-time youth ministers in Southern Baptist churches. Now, there aren't a whole lot of evangelical churches in Canada, period. And obviously Southern Baptists are one slice of that pie. And yes, there are other evangelicals, but the point is there are many, many thousands, hundreds of thousands of teenagers in Canada who need somebody to reach them with the gospel. Children. You know, there are lots of kids who don't grow up in a good home, and they simply do not know the gospel. Or older adults. You know, being an older adult is, believe it or not, that's an underreached area or population in North America. But then you got things like homeless. International students. You know that 85, 90% of every international student who comes to the United States never gets to go into the home of an American. 85 to 90% of all international students never have the chance to go actually into the home of someone who lives in America, in the United States or Canada. When you think about that, in other words, think about the best ways to reach the world for Jesus Christ. What happens if you were to go to Nepal? Can you share the gospel openly in the country of Nepal? Yes? No? No, you can't. Not at all. What happens if you go to the country of Pakistan? Can you share the gospel openly in the country of Pakistan? No, you cannot. What happens if you go to the country of China? Can you openly evangelize in the country of China? No, you cannot. Many, many cultures and people groups and nations of the world are right here among us as international students. We assign a number of student missionaries to work with and do evangelism with international students. There are some right here in Oklahoma who are doing that. And then immigrants, people from other nations who are striving and trying to learn. They're trying to find a better place for themselves in life, at least what they understand to be a better place in life. So all of these people groups are options for you to serve with. And God may have given you a heart for the nations, but maybe you just, either you're not ready, or maybe mom and dad just say, there is no way that you are going to go there. You can do it right here. You can reach the nations right here in North America for Jesus Christ. Let me share with you another brief video clip, if I can get the right one. Let's see. Tell you what, I'll go another way with that. Let me tell you what, let me close that one. I'm trying to think here. Tell you what, while I'm getting this video clip up, Heather, share with us. Heather served in collegiate evangelism in Syracuse, New York. Tell us a little bit about your experience, why you went, what it meant to you, and how that was reaching unreached people.
Like you guys, I was a college student. And when I felt a call into ministry, I thought it was going to be overseas. In fact, I thought specifically, I was talking to Van about this the other day, it was going to be to Latin America working with children. And so when God called me, that's kind of what I started pursuing. I was in my freshman year of college, senior year, getting ready to apply for grad school to do speech pathology. And I thought that's where God was leading me. He was going to use that on the mission field somewhere. And God really called. I wasn't in a conference, but was at a Bible study with college students, and a missionary from China was actually speaking. And I really felt God just tugging at my heart to say, you know, what are you looking at again? And just calling me to look at where He was calling me to go and how He's calling me to say yes to Him. And I ended up looking at our state mission board and through. It goes through the North American Mission Board and the International Mission Board, and went and was just looking at mission opportunities And the one on the front page was to work for a semester in Syracuse, New York with college students. And I looked at it and it stuck out to me, but I was like, I'm not doing that. And it was going to be the last semester of my senior year. And if, as you guys know, being in college, you know, you're with your friends and you have this all planned out and it's all thinking in your head and you're like, no, I have 12 more hours left of class. There's no way this is going to work out. I had a job that paid for my tuition. I had an apartment that I was in, and all these things just seemed like this wasn't the responsible thing to do. But I just kept feeling that God was tugging at my heart. And basically, I think we had a fight in the car. I'm just like, no, God, this is not happening. I'm not doing this. And God was like, Heather, I need you to trust me on this. I was like, no, I just can't. And finally, when I released it and trusted him on it, it was just amazing just how it all fell into place. And so I know there are things that you're worried about as college students, even thinking about going overseas or going to North America. And I had never really thought about North America as a mission field. So even when I was preparing to go to New York, I had really no clue. I didn't feel like the most prepared person in the world to go and to be a college minister. I know you guys probably look up to your college ministers and are thinking, you know, how can I go do something like that, or how can I go serve in that capacity? And when I got there, it was just like my gift and my heart and the vision God had given me fit in so perfectly, just with what God was already doing and how he was already at work in that place. In New York, and especially where I served, I wasn't in New York City. And usually when I say New York, people are like, oh, okay, you know, how was that? It's such a cool place. Syracuse, New York is in the middle of the state, and snow usually starts at the end of October and doesn't finish sometimes till May. I had never seen snow before, so it was completely different. Snow culture is different. People don't walk around and say hi to you. Everybody is going to their place, and it's a different kind of culture. And I'm not saying that people aren't friendly and aren't warm, and I wouldn't say that at all. But I just had to learn how to be in that culture in a different way. And God just provided me some neat opportunities just to grow right away. I wasn't used to, I went to a small Christian college. I'm from Texas. I went to Dallas Baptist University. And wasn't in a context, as some of you are in a secular university, and you're in a context where you're around lost people all the time. Or maybe you're not. Maybe you're involved with your Christian friends and your Christian community, and you're used to that. And I was kind of pushed out there just to see just so many different people who, even if they were Christians, they hadn't grown up in Christian culture. And to me, there was a lot of differences and a lot of things, but a lot of things that were so refreshing about their faith and about the realness of authenticity. And you could talk in a real way with these people. But one of the things that God did was I was looking for a place to live. When I got there, we didn't have a place for me to live yet. And God just placed me with a girl whose mom worked in our chapel, but who wasn't a believer, who had grown up Catholic. And so we got placed together as roommates, and I just got to be with her all the time and just got to live my Christian life out on a real basis. And I prayed for her. I started sharing with her the first semester I was there. And she would come to church with me sometimes, kind of, you know, because it was investing in what I was doing. And we just became great friends and had a great relationship. And 2 years later, I got to see her accept the Lord. And it was a long-term investment, but I saw it make a difference in the lives of some people there on campus. And who she lives out her faith in a totally different way. She's an artist. And if you looked at us, you wouldn't put us probably in the same room together. Maybe we didn't look like, but we just got along great. And God just used those different things to change her life. And hopefully she's going to go reach a generation of Central New Yorkers who are artists, who are, she's a vegan. You know, she's into, you know, some different things, you know, some protesting things and different things like that, where she can reach people that I can't reach. And so I just encourage you guys, as you're doing this and as you're seeking God, God completely just changed my view of it. And I fell in love with New York and with those people. And I went as a semester missionary and ended up staying for 3 semesters as a semester missionary and then stayed on as a USC tour, which is kind of like journeyman, if you guys have heard. It's 2 years in the U.S. and Canada. And it was a fight to come back. but I think God has really used that to change my vision and to broaden my vision of what our country looks like, and has given me a burden for this nation. To see it changed. Our goal as reaching college students and starting new campus ministries there was to see a generation of those people, of Central New Yorkers, changed for Christ so that they could change the spiritual geography of their state and their region. So no more, I mean, even when I come home, people are like, oh, I'm so glad you went to those godless people in New York. I'm like, well, they're not completely godless. They just haven't had the chance to hear the correct truth. And they've been hurt and bombarded with bad religion and things that have just hurt them. And you might get the chance to go do that and just to love on some people and show them, no, this is who Christ really is. And get to correct some of those wrongs that have been done to them. So I just encourage you guys to look through this and seek through and pray through what God may be calling you to do, even in North America.
Okay. Heather, what's one thing that you would say is different about culture, about church culture, the number of churches and the types of churches in New York than you would have here in Texas, Oklahoma, the South? Kind of thing?
You might see a lot of church buildings in New York, mostly Catholic churches. I'd say the high percentage, our university was almost all, we have the largest Jewish population actually, as universities go in the nation, and mostly Jewish and Catholic. Very small percentage of evangelical, if they are, they're small. But God is doing some cool things, and I've seen them growing, and they're doing some neat things. But definitely, you don't go to church to go to church. I was telling someone the other day, it was really weird for me when I got back here and went to eat lunch after church on Sunday. And I was like, why are there so many people out? Because when we would go, I mean, if we went to go eat on Sunday after church, there was nobody. No one was out. And it's just not within their culture to think about church. Sunday's another day on the weekend.
Okay. So. Good. All right. What she's talking about serving as a USC2 missionary, if you look at this particular piece, that is, I think it's on page 20. Where are we? That's on page 20. Yeah. It's on page 20. If you'll, that's kind of the information about USC2 missionaries. It's also, you can also find that information on this Find Your Pathway kind of piece as well. When you think about missions in North America, where do you think about going? What kind of settings do you think we need people in?
Big cities.
Big cities, okay?
Universities? Run down areas of like towns.
Okay, just run down areas, okay?
Reservations,
like Indian reservations, Native Americans? Okay. All right. All right. I've listed some places up here just as examples. You know that one of the most unchurched areas in the United States and Canada are resort areas. Beaches, mountains. And we assign students to those kind of locations as well. Why do you think that is? Why would that be an unchurched area?
People go there to relax.
People don't put it on their radar as far as missions.
Okay. All right. And a lot of people who live there, it is not their priority, right? Okay. All right. The inner cities, small towns, urban, large ministry centers, local churches and college campuses. One of the needs we have right now for next summer, we want to put 25, they're asking for 25 students to go to New Orleans next summer to help us with disaster recovery. We can help you do that. We can help you with spring break stuff, but also with next summer, we really need students to help do that kind of thing. What are the time frames that you can serve in North America? Obviously, you can go like for a week or two on spring break or Christmas break or those kind of things. But I want to challenge you that serving for a week or two is just an entry point. To me, there are three different levels about service. One is an entry point where you're doing like 1 to 2 week kind of things. Go greater depth. Sooner or later, If God really want, if you really want to see your life changed and be connected in missions, you really need to serve for at least a month. Why do you think that would be? Why does it? What's the difference between going 1 to 2 weeks and at least a month? What's that? Building relationships. What's that? Plant deeper roots. Okay, more time to share with more people.
I think it's good to go a month or longer just because sometimes with 2 weeks you can say, okay, this is just 2 weeks long, I can weigh it out. But God takes you through some different things in your own spiritual life.
Okay. Hey, I can survive anything, right, for a week or two. Think you can? You sleep on the floor for a week or two? You know, how about 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 10 weeks? You can survive anything for a few weeks, for a couple of weeks. But when you reach about a month in a threshold, you really begin to change your own mind and heart and life, and you're confronted with different stuff than you are if you're just going for a short period of time. Okay? That 1 month threshold is really a tipping point for most people in terms of their own mission experience kind of thing. So you can go for, I only coordinate people who serve for a month or more. Now, I'll help you if you only got a week or two, but we'll pay for your transportation in most cases if you go for longer than that. 4 to 5 weeks all summer, take a semester or even several semesters after you graduate and serve, or even like Heather did, up to 2 years, are all kind of options and opportunities. In many of the cases, we pay your travel, we pay your insurance, and the local field, once you get there, takes care of all your other expenses in many cases. Not all cases, but in many cases. That's the way it works in North American missions. And that's a little different than some of the other situations and circumstances. Can you make a career of serving in North America? Can you do that for a lifetime? Absolutely, you can. We have a little over 5,000 missionaries who are serving in North America full-time. Of those 5,000, about 3,000 of them receive some kind of salary from the North American Mission Board or other people. And then about 2,000 of those people raise their own self-support as missionaries, is the way it works. I want to show you one other video clip about a lady who is in Vancouver, Canada. And she's a self-funded missionary.
My name is Kim Warren. I'm a Mission Service Corp in Vancouver. When I came in 89, I do remember kind of pleading with God, what am I doing here? I don't speak Chinese and all these languages that were around me. And at that point, he confirmed that was exactly why I was here. I could pull some of those other groups together, and I could help people learn English and use that as a tool for them to settle in this country, and also as a tool for them to know Jesus. The red color represents Jesus' blood. In my mind, I didn't fit the qualification to be Mission Service Corps. Start with teach. Everybody I knew were retired people, that this was an avenue for them to do mission work almost in the second or third career, which I think is great, but I didn't need to apply. They were asking if I would be willing to serve as the literacy missions consultant, unpaid.
You
know, obviously, I couldn't do only that, but it helped me to understand Mission Service Corps was more than and not just for seniors. It really is a network with a lot of support, both prayer support, and resources and encouragement. And the benefit is prayer and having somebody in an office that I can call if I have questions or just need sometimes I need somebody to talk to help me make decisions. And knowing that they're there is a help, that I'm not just one little person out on my own somewhere.
Okay. Kim has been working with immigrants in Vancouver. And matter of fact, now that this video was shot about a year ago, she's actually married a man from mainland China and moved to mainland China now. So she's making a difference literally around the world. All right, what questions have you would come to mind about serving in North America for you? Show you one other video here in a minute. Yes, sir.
Are you serving with a team or like a group of people?
Okay. Many of our projects, many of the projects available through the North American Mission Board can either be, they can either be individually, like you working with a missionary at a church or setting, or they can be in teams up to 40 people. So it just depends on what your comfort level is and what your skills, your interest, and ability, and how those go together. Great question. Somebody else? Questions you have about serving in North America? Yes, sir.
Are there any specific opportunities for married couples?
Yeah. Good question. Absolutely. We have some specific requests for married couples, and then many of our other requests are open to married couples as well. A lot of that depends on the housing that the local field has available, kind of thing. Because if the only housing they have available is like bunk areas, you know, for singles, that doesn't really work for a married couple. But usually we can absolutely accommodate and work that out. Good question. Somebody else? Other questions about serving in North America? Okay.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
How long has the North American Mission Board, how long has it been around?
Good. The North American Mission Board came into existence in 1997. It is a successor to what was then called the Home Mission Board, which has been around since 1845.
Wow.
So the Home Mission Board came into existence way back in 1845, and then it's basically been renamed in 1997. Yeah.
Is the North American Mission Board, it's a Southern Baptist?
It is. But do you, let me follow up with that. You do not have to be a member of a Southern Baptist church to serve as a student missionary through the North American Mission Board. Okay? There are certain things that we're able to do for students who are Southern Baptists, like we can pay your travel if you're a member of a Southern Baptist church, but and we can't pay your travel if you're not a member of a Southern Baptist church, because that's a decision our trustees have made. But absolutely, you don't have to be a member of a Southern Baptist church to serve through us. You just need to be a believer in Jesus Christ and a maturing disciple of Jesus, and actively connected with an evangelical church. So that's really the core essence of what you have to do. You don't have to be Southern Baptist. Okay? Good question. Yes. Okay, great question. What are the options in service? Some of you got this. I know we ran out of this particular sheet, but I know we have plenty of these. If you go to our website at answerthecall.net, which I'm going to show you in a minute, but not the website, but answerthecall.net has a list of all the projects by state and region around the country. And that's what I would really say would be your best option. We have some specific cities that we're focusing on right now. New York is one of those. Vancouver, Canada is one of those. Cleveland, Ohio is one of those. New Orleans, we're doing some specific disaster recovery stuff in right now. So there are some specific places. But there are literally projects in every state and most Canadian provinces around the U.S.
Well, there are hundreds of projects.
How do you choose the cities? Like, what are some? How do you choose where you go when you serve?
Okay, how do you choose? We receive requests from North American Mission Board missionaries and Southern Baptist churches around the U.S. and Canada. And then we qualify those by the quality of the supervision and the impact that that ministry is going to have. In other words, not just everybody can send us a request. We screen those. And then students apply online. You would apply online at our website at answerthecall.net, and you would get the list. You would look at our needs list, pray through it, and say, you know, I feel like God is leading me to do either this type of ministry, or I feel like God wants me to go to this specific location and project number, like this project sheet and all this sample project sheet and all the ones off our website have a specific project number. So you can say, I feel like God's calling me to work with children in Canada. Okay? And let us, you know, place you wherever. Or you can say, you know, I want to go to Arizona 01IN06. Well, that's serving as an innovator at the Grand Canyon. In other words, I want to go get a job and I want to serve as an innovator at the Grand Canyon. You can be that specific. And then based on your skills, your interest, your availability, the time that you have to serve, then we'll coordinate that placement. Good question. Yes, sir?
As far as funding goes, stuff that's like self-funded, does the board like help you find sponsors, or are you completely on your own?
In most cases, that's a great question. For student missionaries, in most cases, we actually pay your travel and your insurance, and then the local field takes care of your food, housing, and other expenses. If you're going to serve long-term and it's self-funded, we actually have a support development school that we want you to attend that trains you to develop not only financial support, but prayer supporters and lay a biblical foundation for self-funded missions. So we don't really help you find your financial support or prayer support, but we give you a framework and a guideline of how do I go about and do it. We educate you. That's right. Because there's no way we can direct you to specific financial supporters or that kind of thing. Every person has to work within their own networks and that kind of thing. Good question. Yes, ma'am. Say that one more time. I didn't. Okay. The training, we actually, the training is done contextually within the state and local area to which you're assigned. So for the summer, all the people who are assigned to New England, for instance, will get together at the beginning of the summer and have 3 or 4 days of training. And that'll be evangelism training. It'll be how to relate contextually. It'll be cultural understandings and adaptations within the region or state. So that's one aspect of training. And then there'll also be local training once you get to your specific assignment. The local supervisor will provide other training and orientation for you. Good question. Let me show you one other brief clip as we close, and just to kind of give you the overview here.
It's time to answer the call. It's time to leave the nest.
It's a whole real world experience.
It's time to take a leap of faith.
It was great. It was wonderful.
It's time for student mission.
It's an excellent opportunity.
It's a big blessing.
It's incredible.
It's exciting. You have to do it. You have to do it.
The adventure is out there.
This is such a different environment than where I'm from.
The jobs are open.
I applied and went online and looked everything up, and here I am.
And there's a position with your name on it. It's time to answer the call.
Third grade.
Are you in high school? Have you finished your junior year? Sojourners are high school students doing missions for 4 to 10 weeks in the summer, anywhere in the U.S. or Canada.
At first it's hard and you're going to miss your family, but you need to get out of your comfort zone.
Summer missionary.
If you finished your freshman year in college, you could be a summer missionary. 4 to 10 weeks in the summer, helping a church or a NAM missionary share Jesus in the inner city, or working with a campus ministry, or helping start a new church.
Like being able to output all the stuff that God's been teaching me into other people's lives, like, is so rewarding.
Innovators work a secular job while at the same time helping a local missionary. Some serve in places like Yosemite or Yellowstone National Park. The dates of service depend on the need. Innovators are college students who finish their freshman year and want real experience sharing Christ in the workplace.
I already got to talk to a lot of people, and it's just amazing because, I mean, they'll bring it up. They're like, so you believe in God?
Semester missionaries.
College students who finish their freshman year can also serve as semester missionaries. They can serve anywhere from 1 to 5 semesters, helping churches, campus ministries, or NAM missionaries anywhere in the U.S. or Canada.
So this has been an amazing time where 100% of my time can be for what God's called me to do.
Opportunity is calling. Adventure is calling. God is calling.
You need to do it.
It's a wonderful opportunity.
I think it's worth it.
It's time to answer the call.
You can see our website there at answerthecall.net and the phone number. It's all in the material you've got. Let me say thanks for coming, and I'll be here the rest of the time today. We have a table out there, and we'd love to answer questions. Let's pray together. God, I thank you for these students. I pray you'll bless them. I pray that you will help them to clarify a sense of life call and purpose. And I pray that you will help them to integrate that life call and purpose into how they can serve you best. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.